from Illinois Public Media. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Last week, the Women in Gender and Global Perspectives program at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, along with several co-sponsors, hosted a summit focused on place-based climate change adaptation. It featured panelists from Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador, and Zambia, who discussed efforts aimed at preparing communities for changes by incorporating expertise and cultural knowledge from those communities. Specifically, they focused on climate-induced changes in access to and availability of food, water, and energy. Dr. Ann Perry Whitmer, a senior research scientist with the university's Applied Research Institute and founder of the contextual engineering discipline at Granger College of Engineering, moderated the panel discussion. She joins us now to talk about the event, which constitutes place-based climate change adaptation and how globally shared knowledge might inform adaptation strategies here in Illinois. Dr. Whitmer, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Brian. It's a pleasure.
So, tell us, let's begin by talking a little bit more about the summit. How did this come about?
This summit came about in a conversation last spring that I had with the Women and Gender and Global Perspectives Center. We were talking about opportunities coming up to highlight what is important in global perspectives. And a lot of the people that I've worked with in the past in South America and Africa really have a fundamental understanding of how important it is to recognize knowledge that resides in a place. And I thought it would be just really nice to get everybody together and start exchanging that. And so we built out this summit, first as a small idea, but as we attracted more co-sponsors, it became a whole lot larger.
Before we get into then the knowledge that comes from these places, let's talk about climate change adaptation. What does that mean, and how does that differ from mitigation, which is what is often discussed in terms of what we need to do to respond to the warming climate?
Sure. Well, when we talk about mitigation, we're talking about reversing or reducing the impacts of climate change. When we talk about adaptation, we're recognizing that climate change is already here, that we're already seeing impacts, and particularly in areas outside the United States, non-industrialized countries that are very agriculturally dependent, we see that they already know that there's climate change. They're feeling impacts. And so it's really more important at this point for them to be thinking about how they can adapt to the changes they're already experiencing.
So what are some examples of that were talked about at the conference?
Oh, boy. There's so many. So we were looking at food, energy, and water. So in the case of food, we talked about agriculture, how weather patterns have changed. We're seeing changes in crop growing season. We're seeing changes in rain, moisture, droughts, floods, that sort of thing. It has a tremendous impact on what crops should be grown in a place, how productive they are, and what sort of processes have to be used in agriculture to keep them growing. That's one example. In water, we're talking about availability or lack of availability of water for drinking, for supporting animals, crops, industry. And in energy, we're talking about the fact that as we recognize fossil fuels have caused so many issues with climate change, and we move towards a fossil fuel free world, how do we adapt to these changes in energy sources?
I want to now bring in some of the comments made during the summit. We have some tape of Carlos Aguilera from the Ecuador Office of Engineers in Action, which is an organization that also has offices in the U.S. and Bolivia. Let's listen to that.
If you want to go to explore more in communities, rural communities need people. You also need to identify if the conception of adaptation to climate change is there, or maybe for them are more cycles. And that's also related with the cultural knowledge that they have. Because at the beginning, right now, at this moment, from outside, with the whole knowledge that we have, universities or whatever institutions, we can go there and say, hey, you have a climate change impact. But they may be going to tell us, no, this is something that is happening to my grandfathers two generations ago, or to my grandparents three generations ago, and we already have the knowledge how to adapt to these changes.
Interesting. I listened to that, and it reminds me a little bit of a sentiment you hear in Illinois, in rural Illinois, and in parts of the greater Midwest, which views climate change as really just part of a natural cycle rather than something that is instigated by humans. I wonder if this has come up in your own research and projects and how you respond to that.
No, it certainly has. During COVID, even though most of my research before COVID was internationally focused, we brought it home, started working more domestically when we couldn't travel internationally. And we've been working a lot with rural communities in Illinois and in the Midwest. And there is one study out there that shows that less than one-fifth of farmers even believe in climate change in the United States. And that compares to a lot of other places in the world, like Carlos was talking about, where they might not have a name for it, but they know that there's changes. They have maybe experienced it on the short term, but they haven't seen it as a long-term kind of a progression. So I think his message was somewhat a message of hope that people know how to adapt to these changes. We just need to gather the knowledge that they have and share it so that if we're still locked into this idea that it's not going to be a permanent change, we can at least have some tools and processes that we can employ to make things more manageable.
Well, I think that's a nice segue into this idea of contextual engineering then, because can you talk about that and how, we heard the tape of Mr. Aguilera there talking about how the people that he speaks with in Ecuador, they say, well, my grandfather had to deal with this. Talk about how contextual engineering differs from, acontextual engineering. What would be the term? Traditional engineering? Take it where you will.
Okay. Well, I'd like to think that contextual engineering is engineering in its purest form. The idea is recognizing that technology and technological processes are really dependent on people's needs, not on the designer's desire to create something newer and bigger and better. And that's led me over the last few years to spend a lot of time around the world and also locally in the United States, looking at how technological interventions have or haven't worked. And what I've found is that a lot of times we as engineers tend to think we know more than a community about what the community needs. And Carlos really, really captured that well in a lot of his comments doing this, that communities know better than anybody what their conditions are. And if we're not attuned to that and not learning about that, we're probably not doing the best solutions for them. That's kind of the foundation of contextual engineering. Since we've been working on this, though, we've found that it doesn't just apply to technical processes. And so at the Applied Research Institute, our group is called Contextual Innovation and Practice, because we found that the same processes we try to employ in learning about who we're working for and who we're designing for apply to organizational dynamics, apply to activities, apply to institutions. And so we've really broadened this notion of contextual engineering, even though with my role in agricultural and biological engineering, where I'm a lecturer and teach this, I focus on the engineering side.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Dr. Ann Perry Whitmer, who is a senior research scientist at the University of Illinois College, Granger College of Engineering, and recently led a summit with the Women and Gender and Global Perspectives program at the University of Illinois, focused on place-based climate adaptation, which brought in panelists from South America and Africa to talk about how communities in those places are incorporating local knowledge and expertise into their adaptations to climate change and how we in Illinois might learn from that. What do you, this idea of contextual engineering, it sounds to me like there's a certain amount of humility involved in that. And I wonder if that is, I know the requirements to get into the College of Engineering at U of I are quite stringent. I don't know that it attracts necessarily the most humble students. Is this a tough sell?
It's a tough sell, yeah. And you're right. We are, as engineers, taught not to be humble. We're taught to be the experts. And especially in the United States and in an institution as prestigious as the University of Illinois, Granger College of Engineering, we recognize that we've got all these innovations and advancements around us. And so it's easy to perceive this as a step backwards, but it's not the case at all. In fact, a lot of the contextual engineering work I've done has I've found that it's more challenging engineering design than if I were working with very advanced technologies, because I have to work with what's available in a place, with what is needed by a particular population that I may not be familiar with. And so humility is a great word, because one of the first things we teach our students going into contextual engineering is not to talk, but to listen, to ask questions, to recognize people who maybe don't have the same education or the same Western experiences we do, to recognize that they are equal to us in knowledge because they actually know a whole lot more than we do about the place we're working in.
So what are some of the lessons that you think are most applicable to Illinois that you heard about being discussed at this event?
I think the fact that everybody we talk to from three South American countries and one African country were adamant in saying, we know how to do things. We have solutions here. I think that a big lesson is that we don't have a corner on the market in Western technology. We advance technology and we do it splendidly. And I don't want to sound at all critical of technology, because technology is a very important development that we are all working towards. But I think that when we recognize that we're not always working with people in a place that values the same capabilities that we do, we can shift our perspective. We can really learn to honor the knowledge that's already out there. Can I give you a quick example?
Please do.
Okay, so I'm working right now in the Navajo Nation. And we're looking at climate change impacts there. And the Navajo territory is very famously devoid of water because of climate impacts. And when I'm out there, and I'm going back out next week, when I'm out there and talking with people from the Navajo Nation, I recognize how much more they understand about nature than I do. I can talk to an older woman who tells me that she can predict with incredible accuracy how much snow they'll get in a winter and how much rain they'll get by looking at the growth of certain plants in certain places. And she actually is very good at this. We dismiss that as something that we haven't measured or haven't explored. And so it's indigenous knowledge. It doesn't have the same value as atmospheric studies. But in fact, there is some place-based knowledge she has that works, and we should be learning from her rather than dismissing her.
Big picture, and we're coming to the end of our time together, but what broader effects do you hope that the knowledge from this summit and contextual engineering in general has on your field?
Well, we came out of this summit with grand plans, and I'm very excited about them. We've decided that what we need to do as a group is promote the notion of place-based knowledge hubs on each continent. And our colleagues in Bolivia have volunteered to start this by creating essentially a repository of place-based knowledge on climate change adaptation in food, energy, and water. Our guest from Zambia had already been thinking about this himself, and he's going to do the same thing. What's really exciting about this is we're going to be able to network these hubs together North America, South America, Africa, hopefully Europe, Australia, and Asia in the future, so that these place-based capabilities are recognized, researched, valued, and shared across the world to create a broader repository of contextualized knowledge.
I want to thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. Ann Perry Whitmer, thank you for your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Ann Perry Whitmer is a senior research scientist at the Applied Research Institute at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and moderated a panel discussion at this event that brought people from South America and Africa around the world to Illinois to talk about incorporating local expertise and cultural knowledge into adaptations to climate change. More to come on the 21st Show. We're going to be talking with an author, Hua Su, who was born in Central Illinois. He is the author of a new book called Stay True, a Memoir. That's coming up after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.